The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are predicting episode number 5 of Survivor 50. I am joined today by Tony Squares from Survivor Squared. You all probably know him over on Instagram as well. He just finished his season rewatch, so we're going to be diving into that. Remember, everybody, too, the winner of this prop bet game wins a custom pop Funko from Todd Herzog, the winner of the 41st best season of Survivor China, according to Tony Squares. I told you I was starting off roasting you, man. That's my favorite season. What are you doing to me?
So the last time I came on the Survivor Specialist, it was a blast talking with you, talking with everyone else. And I was just sort of in the middle or the beginnings of my Survivor journey. Again, it is not a joke. I had never seen Survivor other than the first season until 2025. And then I imbibed it all as fast as I could. I was pumping out these recaps every single week. And every single week I would rank both the winners and the season. And I remember you mentioning how much you love China on that podcast. And I didn't have the heart to tell you then what you obviously know now, that China is nowhere near the tops of my list. I despised that season with all of my heart, and I knew I was coming on this show, and I knew you mentioned it, and I knew I was going to have to not defend my stance, but sort of explain myself here. And let me tell you, buddy, I went back and looked at some of the people, some of the players, some of the moments, and I still despise that season of Survivor. But that's me. That's why Survivor is beautiful, because we all have differing opinions and we all want something different out of the game and the show. But I'm sorry to rain in your parade.
I mean, as soon as I saw that, I'm glad you got me some social media attention, because obviously over there on Instagram, you blow us out of the water. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, damn, he got me to put the comment. Like, I felt like I had just, you know, I was the guy who just like stands there and everybody's screaming behind him, whatever that meme is, that gif. That's what I was doing, because as soon as I saw that, I said, damn, what the hell is he doing? But look, what I think is fascinating about Survivor is, I'm hitting my light. I think what's fascinating about the show is the people who've been watching for a long time, since the very early seasons, we have very common opinions. And there will be a season that slips by. Gabon's very polarizing for people in the community. I know some people like All Stars. I personally despise All Stars, whatever. But it's the people who are just starting to watch the stuff now, who are coming in the new era, or coming in like you did, where you're watching it in order. You're watching it from the beginning, but you don't have the attachment that we do, the nostalgia factor that's lumped in. And so I always find it fascinating, and you know, to hear your opinion. And then I had Joe Mena on a podcast a couple weeks ago from Survivors Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. And he's like, man, I didn't watch a single season from 41 to 49. I said, well, who do you like then? And it's fun to get the perspective of who do you like in 50 if you haven't watched the stuff, and how are you feeling about the show when you're discovering it 25, 26 years after it started? So you're wrong. It makes me mad, but I can't really say you're wrong because it's opinion. But I'm one of those people. Everybody's allowed to have their own opinion as long as it agrees with mine. So here we are.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. I will say, imbibing it the way I did and getting it over and over again, you do build that nostalgia really fast. Like, you immediately are introduced to these characters that you know are coming back. I knew Sandra was a multi-time winner the first time I saw her on Pearl Island, so I know she's coming back. I know to pay more attention to her. And watching it as I did, it made me love Winners at War so much more than most of the Survivor community. It's my favorite season ever, because I had just spent 40 straight weeks getting all of these people in my life, and now I get to see the Avengers Endgame version of Survivor play out in front of me. So yes, I know people who love the old school players were mad at how it played out. We don't got to go into the intricacies of that, but me watching it, I was like popcorn the whole entire time. This is exactly what I wanted. So I get it. I have differing views on Survivor, and I have reasons to defend it, both with the winners and the seasons, and it does make some people mad. But Survivor China, I am steadfast on. Never again.
Hey, it's fair. As long as you can defend your opinion, that's what I always say. I hate the people who are online saying that sucks. Why does it suck? It sucks. Okay. And then it becomes the groupthink mindset, and everybody just says, no, it sucks. I mean, we can go on and on and on about that, but we probably should talk about Survivor 50. I guess that's why people are here. But Survivor 50, now you're all caught up. Now you're here. I mean, you're officially here. 50, 49 weeks, and now you can watch this and just say, I don't have to keep watching other seasons. I can just enjoy this. What are you thinking so far?
Man, let me tell you, the first few episodes I really thought were marvelous. And I remember coming on here the last time and you guys were making fun of me because I was looking at this all, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know, loving everything that was happening. And the first three episodes were really, really fun because of how well it was put together, how well it was edited, the little moments, the cutaways to Christian behind the hammock. It was mostly Christian, let's be honest, that I was laughing at over and over again. But there were special moments in every single episode. Even the Rizzo and Charlie thing, they cut back to what happened to Charlie. Like, they were really feeding the family that is Survivor and guiding everyone along on this journey. And then the Zach Brown episode was honestly one of the worst episodes of the new era. And it's nothing against people who like Zach Brown. You can like his music all you want. He could be anyone. It could be my favorite artist put there. I don't want to spend 15 minutes of an already really, really short and compact 24-person season with a person who's not playing Survivor. And that middle portion of that episode really sucked the life out of the entirety of the episode, leading to one of the most pivotal and shocking and all over the place votes that we've had yet on this season. And yet the middle of that episode had nothing to do with anything else that was going on. Did I like Zach playing for Joe and Aubrey and Genevieve and Tiffany? Of course I did. I loved that moment. I didn't like the whole entire episode in between where he has now more confessionals than some of the players in the actual game. What did you think about the Zach Brown thing, the man who has been covering Survivor for as long as you have?
For me, it didn't bother me as much as it bothered others. We dove into this, and I mean, I posted that on X when people said it was the lowest rated episode on IMDb, and I was talking to Peridium earlier today, and we were reading some of the comments on X, and we were laughing our asses off. I got a lot of FUs, kill yourselves, you know, the typical, I mean, just normal stuff. Like, essentially what we say to each other when I say I love China, you don't like China. We're mature adults. We say FU, go away. We hate each other. So to me, the spearfishing was rough, and Will said on the recap, if Zach Brown was doing this with the players, it's a totally different story. It's way better. But he got his own segment of 5 to 10 minutes of just spearfishing. Now people are coming out saying, was it even him spearfishing? It might have been somebody else, and they were just pretending it was Zach Brown. Who knows? I don't really care about that. I don't care about the realism of what they're doing with the guy who's out there for a cameo. Like, if it was Ozzy and they're saying, oh, we got a different person to play Ozzy so we can make it look like he caught fish, I'd be pretty pissed off. But this didn't bother me that much. I really enjoyed the reward. And I think that is the old school in me. Is that I missed the big time rewards. Survivor Africa is way higher on my list of season rankings than most people's because of the location, because of what it had to offer, and because of these rewards. Now, I understand Zach Brown is not native to Fiji, okay? Like, I get that. But I appreciated this, like, whole island vibe, hanging out. Players actually wanted this reward. For the first time in a very long time, people wanted this reward. And I did see a lot of people saying, I've never even heard of Zach Brown. This is stupid. Why would we waste our time with this? If you haven't heard of Zach Brown, I've said this on the last three podcasts I've done. That's kind of on you at this point. Like, I don't listen to country music. I had my personal connection with Zach Brown, which I said on my recap. But, like, I know who Zach Brown is. And I would know who other people are as well. They didn't pull some obscure country star and say, hey, we just want to give this a try. Zach Brown Band is almost in the billion listen on one song on Spotify at like 900 million on something. Like, this is a big time artist. It might not be your genre, but you should know the leaders in every genre, even if you're not paying attention. Maybe you don't need to know like classical piano, but you know what I mean? So it didn't bother me that much. I understand the frustrations. I do think people have gone overboard with the hate. I feel like saying that it's the worst episode of all time is out of control. If you want to say it's one of the worst of the new era, I think that's fair if it really interrupted it for you that much. For me, it didn't interrupt it that much. And I thought the end of the episode was so good that I'm all in. I turned that episode off excited to see what was going to happen in the next episode. And I think 100%. That at least ended it right.
100%. That's what made me the maddest, was the end of the episode and how much more I wanted from it. I would have spent 10 more minutes at Tribal Council listening to all these things we've heard afterward. Mike White in the media saying Emily was doing this, Ozzy was saying this. We never got to see any of that because we spent all that TV time spearfishing with Zach Brown. Again, I agree with your co-host who said if the players were there with him spearfishing, we would have had more fun. We heard Ozzy at Tribal Council say he caught 7, no 8 fish, get it right, for the tribe. Why wasn't that on television for us? And getting Ozzy giving a confessional, going to the old Ozzy. It's not Oscar, it's Ozzy today. Like, that stuff is there for a season that has 24 people, and we still have, what, 19 on the island, and only how many days left of this show? We're getting double, triple eliminations moving forward. Give me more Survivor on Survivor Season 50. I get the reward was fun, but I would have liked less time with it. But that's just me. Either way, excited for the next episode.
Yeah, and I had, look, as somebody who wasn't bothered by it, I will say it does bother me a little bit that this was the highest viewed episode of the season, or at least the ratings went up from episode 3 to episode 4, because that concerns me that potentially Survivor's looking at this the wrong way, thinking, oh, it went up because we had Zach Brown on, when in reality, it just went up because a 200,000 person increase isn't much at this point.
No, let me jump on that, because that's the other thought I had when this whole Zach Brown thing happened. Bring Zach Brown in for season 51 and 52. Have these characters, the players that we don't know, that we don't have a relationship with. If we want to know more of them, who of them know Zach Brown? Which of them like Zach Brown? Like, let Zach Brown tell us the story of these players that we don't know in non-returnee seasons. If you want to have celebrities come on and be on this show, I'm all for it. If that's what you think is going to bring the ratings, just do it, not on this huge season that we've never touched before. I just want more of the Survivors.
You know what the problem is, though, Tony? This is the truth. Those people don't want to be on 51 or 52. They want to be on 50 because it's the biggest season. They all want to be a part of the big one. You know, that's the funny thing. You want to be on the 1,000th episode. You don't want to be on 999. You know, and so when people are, you know, you always think about this. Oh, it's Betty White's 100th birthday, which unfortunately never made it to, even though they did the entire special. But it's Betty White's 100th birthday. You want to be a part of Betty White's 100th birthday. You don't want to be a part of Betty White's 99th birthday. That doesn't mean anything. And I think that's what the problem is. And that is where they did get big enough names here. Mr. Beast, Billie Eilish, Jimmy Fallon, Zach Brown. They got big enough names involved with this season that they're not going to say, oh, great, I'll just take the exposure. If they called up you or me and they said, you want to be a part of 51 just in a cameo portion, it's like, hell yeah, put me on the plane. I'll pay for my own flight, my own hotel, my own food. I don't care what you need me to do. I'll do it in a second. When you're at that level, it's a different level. And I think that's what the issue ultimately is. And if you're Zach Brown, congrats on the free press, because then what happens? Oh, what a tie-in and what an episode to do this in. I'm watching March Madness all weekend, and who's the instrumental person playing the song going to every commercial break during March Madness? Crazy. It's Zach Brown. Crazy how that works, huh?
I know. It's like NBC having Tara Lipinski on the Traitors just so happens to be at the Winter Olympics at the same time.
I know. Oh, they're calling in. They're at the reunion with Andy Cohen. Oh, calling in from the Winter Olympics, Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski. By the way, did you know the Winter Olympics are a thing that's airing the Winter Olympics on NBC? Winter Olympics, NBC. It's just funny. I don't know. It cracks me up. But this is the biggest talking point. I think this is where Survivor fans, especially our type of listener, I know our type of listener are the people who really love the show. They really love diving into the gameplay. Mm-hmm. They really love diving into the characters and stuff. I think this is the stuff that drives them nuts. For my parents, they're at home. They're going, why is Zach Brown on the show? And then they might talk about that over dinner, and then they're going to fall asleep. They're going to wake up the next day. They're going to watch their next show. They don't care. The people who live and breathe Survivor, who are listening to all the episodes we're putting out in a week, all of your episodes, watching you on Instagram, going on Reddit, going on X, going on everywhere. Like, I think the annoying part for all of them is, what is CBS even promoting? CBS is promoting, oh, look at this thing we did with Zach Brown. We don't want the conversation to be about the celebrities. We want it to be about the gameplay. And honestly, Zach Brown, the polarization of him being on the show has completely overshadowed what was an excellent episode, I think, around it. And I think that's the bummer for me as a Survivor fan, is that this will always be remembered. Kind of like the Boston Rob episode is always remembered as what started COVID. The Mike White boot is kind of going to be remembered as that Zach Brown episode rather than the crazy Blindside episode.
And it should be the destruction of David versus Goliath, or David getting Goliath, however you want to paint it. It was a beautiful, beautiful finish. And in my opinion, not just ended Mike White's game, but if we want to get into predictions, it ended Christian's game as well. I have so many thoughts heading forward on what is going to come from this particular vote and the way it was constructed, that I think there is chaos all around on the next episode here. I know we're getting two tribals, a double elimination, so I know it's not just one tribe that could go out there and eliminate somebody, but I'm worried for a few people based on this Mike White vote, and it's not just Mike White himself, who apparently doesn't want Ponderosa, doesn't want to do anything with Christian, doesn't want to do anything with anybody else. He's moving on to White Lotus, and we'll never see him again. Thanks for the memories, Mike White.
Yeah, I have to say, look, I'm a big Mike White fan. I got to really know the Dave vs. Goliath cast. They all love Mike White and the people that I talk to, who he still keeps in touch with. I mean, down to bringing Godfather Carl back on, when like Godfather Carl isn't somebody that's like such a big get in the Survivor community. That's like, oh, we got to get it. It's like he just likes Godfather Carl. So he's going to bring Godfather Carl and bring Natalie on. I appreciate that. He's throwing a bit of a celebrity tantrum right now, and it's happening. You know what? More power to him. He's allowed to. He's Mike White. He came back. He did this. At the same time, I think Ron Clark had posted it. I think I had seen on one of the Instagram accounts or something where Ron Clark has said, if you can't play by the same rules, you don't deserve to be out there. And I'm going to the Ron Clark event on April 1st, and I will be there, and I'm excited to be there and see who's there and who's not there, because something tells me Mike White is not going to be present in Atlanta, Georgia on that evening. So
everyone's going to Atlanta. I was invited to go to Atlanta. Those tickets are expensive, Ron. I don't know if I can do it. I don't think so, man. Those tickets are expensive. I am, however, if anyone's in Costa Mesa for tomorrow's watch party hosted by Shaheen, me and Bailey Buffs from Survivor Squared will be there. I'm excited for that one. But Atlanta's far, dude.
Yeah. That's the nice thing about here is Atlanta's not so far from South Florida for the brief time that I'm here. And tell you what, guys, if you guys see me in Atlanta, I'm just going to say this now, because I'm going to say this throughout the week, and I want you to all be really nice to me. If you see me in Atlanta, my wife and I are doing this insane thing where our house has sold. We are driving to Atlanta, and then we are driving from Atlanta to Phoenix, and we're doing that in 2 days. Then we're getting on a plane 2 days later, flying back to Florida, and then we're going to do that drive again in about 2 weeks. So if you see me on Wednesday night, and you're like, man, this Phil guy's ripped. It's like, yeah, I'm not ripped like muscular. I'm ripped because I'm hammered. That's because I'm drinking, because, man, I got a long drive ahead 2 days after that, and I need to make sure I sleep very, very well Wednesday night. So that's it. That's going to be a hell of a drive. But anyway, I can hold my alcohol. It's a joke, everybody. It's a joke. I'm not going to be yelling. Okay. Anyway, yeah, Atlanta's great. If you have a chance to go to the Ron Clark event, I know that the tickets are expensive this year. RHAP is also doing an event, so I know that that's happening. Bryce and Wen are doing karaoke the night before. It's always an awesome thing. And when I used to live out in LA, people always did these big events, and it was always fun. And I got to go to a lot of the finale parties and all that stuff, and it's amazing. Ron Clark in Atlanta is the closest thing you're going to get to one of those like big city events, like the LA or New York events. He does such a great job. His school is massive. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see. So go check it out. It's worth it if you're in the area. And if you're Tony Squares, wait till next year when the ticket prices go way down, because it's not Survivor 50 anymore. Anyway, here we are, right? Crack our shoulders. Yes, the Shaheen event. Shaheen, any other survivors going to that you know?
That I know of, I have not paid too much attention to the promotional material, but I know Shaheen often gets a lot of people out there. He was up. I was lucky enough to go to the Rob Has a Podcast thing in LA 2 weeks ago, and he was up there talking about it, promoting it. And there's a lot of, you know, SoCal Survivor locals that I'm sure are heading down there. So I'm excited for it. I haven't been down to that venue. I like Shaheen as a person. I'm excited to see. And watching Survivor with a group of people in an auditorium, my friend, it was one of the most thrilling experiences I've had watching Survivor. I can't wait to do it again. People were cheering. People were like shocked, gasps voices when little confessionals were happening. It was a sporting event. I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, no, it's so much fun. It really is. Yeah. Watching it live is a totally different experience when you're with a bunch of other people, whether it's in a bar with 10 people or it's in an auditorium or it's at the finale, whatever it is, it's a great time. And this season is definitely delivering on that. I could see where people might be bored by the Zach Brown thing. But just remember where everybody was during the finale of season 49, the interlude you all got. And, you know, I know that wasn't part of the show, but you still got that interlude during the finale. And that was probably a lot more awkward at the bars while everybody was watching than what we got with Zach Brown. So here we are. Let's start doing some of these questions, and we can start making some predictions, and we can start figuring out we're going to go with all this stuff. A lot of these questions I'm bringing back from earlier episodes. I got some different questions that are new for people. What are people going to say? I'm kind of running out of some ideas when there's no Billie Eilish idol, and then I'm trying not to like use stuff that is easily noticeable in a preview or in something like that. Although I don't think I'd ever say who's going to fart on camera, but did you see the sneak peek of Devin's playing with Dynamite?
I did, man. And I'm not sure. Listen, we've already had a full number two on Survivor season 50. So at this point, anything's possible to come out of these people. I don't know if it's not the rewards. That wasn't the reward tribe. I don't know what's causing a ruckus over there, but that would honestly be my biggest worry if I played Survivor. It's not the, will I get blindsided? It's not the, will they paint me as a villain? Will I look like an asshole or something? It's not any of that. It's, will I have some trouble intestinally in front of the entire world, because you can't hide. There's no hiding. You can't go back to your own home, to your home base over here. I am not an away team player, and that's my biggest fear when it comes to Survivor, and it's playing out in front of my eyes.
I love that. Not an away team player. He's the guy who's like, man, it's only a 45-minute ride home. I'll get there. No worries. No, Turgenstein says Devin farts. It's like, dude, these guys are eating coconuts and nothing else. This is a B-dubs fart, man. This is I've been sitting down watching college basketball for 6 hours. I've been eating wings and drinking beer. I mean, Jonathan even turns his head. He goes, yo, what was that? And it's the whole duck joke and everything like that. I mean, Christian and Devin's being aligned and farting and pooping being part of their storyline right now was not on my bingo card before the season began, but I'm enjoying that we're getting this lowbrow type humor to kind of bring in a different version of the audience. I mean, the new era, it has been a lot of college educated, like everybody's doing well. Who went to Berkeley? Who went to Duke? Who went to Yale? Like whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And now this season, it's like, hey, man, this is what we were doing at Middle Georgia State or whatever, you know, where I think that's where Devin's is now. Or I think where Devin's went. I'm not knocking that school. I mean, look, that's every university you go to a university is good, but you've been hearing nonstop about these Ivy Leagues and all this different stuff. And it's like, nah, man, like there's still people out there who really laugh hard at farts. And I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people. And I appreciate this a lot.
They're pushing the highbrow humor on Survivor this season, let me tell you. And this fits right into it. So I'm excited for it. Again, not one of the prop bets, though. You can't, it's already been spoiled. Can't do it in the prop bet.
It's already been spoiled. And then it's like, okay, who are we going to pick for number two here? And then it's like, all right, well, who are we going to pick? And then you start picking people. And then it almost feels mean. It's like, well, I think this person's going to fart loud. I don't know, how do you start picking that? Like, Tony, who do you think's going to fart this episode? Oh, I'm going to go with, I don't know. We'll go with D. It's like, what are we doing? Like, what is this podcast? So let's move off of that and let's go to the real questions. Who will be shown in the water? So the last time I did this question, it was the swimming challenge. I don't think that's the challenge this week. I don't think it could be, and I could be wrong, but they showed a highlight in the sneak peek or in like the preview that aired on Sunday. And it was people swimming, but it looked like it was from the episode that I originally asked this. So my question is, who will be shown in the water for any reason? Doesn't matter what it is, but rain does not count.
Rain does not count. I think there's obviously some favorites on this one, and there's obviously some favorites based on what they do on the island, what they like to do. Do we have mud in a challenge that people need to go wash off, and then you kind of get everyone gets in the water? I'm going to go with Jonathan, because we have not seen a lot of Jonathan's tribe at all in these seasons, whether it was original tribe or the tribe that he's on now. I do think we get a shift in focus in the storytelling here, and I think we start to get more confessionals out of some of the people on this tribe, but Jonathan's tribe as a whole in the hierarchy of the alliances that are forming there. So I'm going to go with Jonathan because he is Mr. Water on that tribe. Coach no longer can get in the water. He needed to be medically evac'd the last time he was in the water. So let's just go with Jonathan and keep it there.
Yeah, I'm going with the temper tantrum, though. I like the Jonathan pick, but I'm going to go with there's one man on this island who's going to throw a temper tantrum. We already know it's going to happen, and he loves getting in the water. And I feel like he's going to get in the water after to get some alone time. We're going to get a confessional of like half crying, half not, of, you know, I just had a bad night last night. It caught me off guard. It reminded me of Micronesia. It reminded me of all my other seasons. And I just get out in the water and I feel better. And it's the hero music playing in the background, and everybody loves him again. So I'm going to go with Ozzy. And I'm going to pick him as the person who gets in the water for one reason or another, because whether he's in there spearfishing or he's in there and he's trying to do something as a challenge person, or he just walks down to the water because he's tired of people, I'm going to go with him. And that's my pick. So we got the two basic picks there. Look, this is easy until these two guys are gone. Let's be real.
Ozzy's a man after my own heart, because I too, when people annoy me, I just want to get in the water. I just want to swim away from them. I would be doing the same thing if I was on Survivor. I'd be the spearfishing guy. I would not want to deal with anybody. I'd get voted out early because of it. I don't care. I'm here for a vacation. He's just here for the zip line. That's me. I'm just there for the water.
I like that. Here for the zip line. One of the best sketches I've ever seen in my entire life. Anyway, here we go. Next question is, who will say idle? And I don't mean idle, I-D-L-E. I mean idle, I-D-O-L. So if they're talking about Rizzo not moving, that's different than who has an idle. Who do you think will say the word idle? It can be after immunity, it can be before immunity. It doesn't matter, but they have to say the word idle. They can't say immunity. They can't say hidden, like whatever. It has to be the word idle.
I do think, I don't want to, you know, tell you how to run your game, but with Survivor Season 50, I do think we need to tip our cap to the mother of this idol, and I think we need to have the full Billie Eilish boomerang idol as the phrase the person needs to say for these prop bets, because every time you say the Billie Eilish boomerang idol, an angel gets its wings. And so the person I believe will say Billie Eilish boomerang idol will be the man you just mentioned. I think it's Rizzo. I know he just got this idol, and I know he said to camera he's not going to do it 49. He's going to keep it to himself. He's going to keep it nice and tight, because I think that's what he should do. This is a showman. Rizzo showed us in season 49 he likes being the center of attention. He likes dancing. He likes making, you know, showing off the fireworks here because it's part of his game. He thinks he's like a magician. You know, what under what cap is this idol as he spins them all around? I think Rizzo tells somebody about this idol. I think Rizzo maybe gets himself in trouble with this idol, especially with Charlie trying to headhunt him. And I think Rizzo's the one that says the word Billie Eilish boomerang idol.
And I'm keeping it as idol. And here's my reasoning for this. In the first episode, I got too complicated. And I ended up asking a bunch of questions that nobody ended up hitting, right? And I realized this game's a lot more fun when at least one person hits it. And if you're going to get the easy low-hanging fruit, Rizzo will be that guy. Now, what will happen is maybe next week I will say, other than Rizzo and Aubrey, because I'm going with Aubrey, who has an idol, other than Rizzo and Aubrey, who will say the word idol. But I need to make sure it's going to happen again, because in the first episode, I'm telling you, there were like 4 out of the 10 things that could not hit. And then that becomes a problem, because in the max you can get is 6. There's got to be some easy ones. There's got to be some hard ones, because there are some random hell as hell ones later on. And you know it, because I know I already sent you the questions. There are some that are so random. How could you possibly know? So this is a layup. This is a layup. It's okay. But there's also the chance that if Rizzo or Aubrey don't go to tribal council, which if one of their tribes, because I think Vatu's going, so Rizzo or Aubrey probably isn't going. It's only going to be one of them. If only one of them goes, there's a chance the other one never brings it up this episode.
It's very true. Maybe
they just say Billie Eilish gave me a gift and they don't actually say the word idol.
And if anyone has qualms about Billie Eilish, there should only be one person that has the most qualms, and that's Genevieve. You know how many players, I looked this up the other day and I was struggling to get an exact answer, but you know how many players have found not one but two idols on a single season of Survivor? You look through the names and they're legends. Phil, they are the absolute like height of heights. The people who can like, we talk about them. They're on the Mount Rushmores whenever you talk about the greats. Genevieve, on the biggest season of Survivor, has found 2 idols in 4 episodes, and nary a one can she use because of Billie Eilish. If I was a Genevieve super fan, I would be pissed right now. Yeah. She should have like Thanos in the Infinity Gauntlet building out the idols, but no, she has to give them away and hope they return to her. Sorry, had to get that off my chest.
No, I totally hear you. What was the number around? It's probably around like 5 to 10, right? That's why I held up the 5. I think it's probably around just 5 to 10 players who have gotten 2 in one season.
There's a lot recently, more than you think, but the originals, the OGs, the Malcolms, the Russells, the Parvatis, the Jameses, like those are the names we remember for what they did with these idols. And Genevieve, sadly, has no chance to do anything with these idols.
Yeah, no, I know. Genevieve is going to be having a fit. And when I say Genevieve, I mean all of her fans are going to be having a fit. That episode, if Genevieve gets idled out with one of the Billie Eilish boomerang idols, that'll be a lower rated episode than Zach Brown Band. There you go. That's all it's going to take. The next question, who will say Jeff? So not probes. They have to say Jeff, and they can't say like Jeffrey. Do you think Jeffrey counts here? I feel like it's gotta be Jeff.
I feel like if anyone calls him Jeffrey, they're trying a little bit hard, too hard. So I'll just go with Jeff. I think there are 2 favorites here. Like if we're going off of, you know, if this is a sports book and people are ranked higher than the other one, 2 people that should be head and tails above the others as the 2 favorites. And I'm going to go Yeah, I'm going to go with Angelina because Angelina or Coach are the two people that I would pick for this. And I love Coach so much. I Coach is too easy of a pick. I'm going to go with Angelina. Hope I get it right. Hope there's some type of her questioning him at a reward challenge, at an immunity challenge, or exclaiming his name in some exasperated way. I do think we, again, get a lot of this tribe as we have throughout the entirety of season 50. And Angelina is going to be a focal point of that. So her saying Jeff is my pick.
I like that. And I feel like with this one, because there's multiple people who could win, you might get a couple teams, a couple people here who are better than plus 100. You know, they're at that minus 110, minus 150, something mm-hmm. like that. But if you're the sports book and you don't have this person as your top two, then that means I'm probably getting pretty good odds. I think based on the preview, based on everything we've been hearing, Rizzo versus Charlie, what's going to happen? This has been the only story there. So I feel like that tribe's going to go. I feel like it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That is like one of my, mm-hmm. I think they're going to be the second tribe that goes. Well, who's on that tribe? The inventor of Mr. Jeff, and that is Jonathan. And I'm going to go with Jonathan because I think if they go to tribal council, he's going to get at least one Mr. Jeff in. That's going to make every single online fan of Survivor, except those like on certain platforms, roll their eyes into the back of their head, and it's going to drive them crazy. And I am going to go with Jonathan here because he said it in the premiere too, on the first match. We'll give you it, Mr. Jeff. Like whatever he said, he's saying it again. And it's going to happen. So I'm going to go with Jonathan for this one.
I like that. What if you could take one away more, if you could eliminate one from existence more, which would you eliminate? Mr. Jeff or Uncle Jeff?
Uncle Jeff.
Okay.
Right. Can I say
I would
why?
Take away Mr.
Can go I say why it. Though on the uncle?
Go for it.
Way too many people started adopting it. That's what bothered me. Mr. Jeff is at least Jonathan's thing. And maybe that's, you know, I always compare it. Did you watch BoJack Horseman? You had to have watched BoJack Horseman, right? Okay. Wowza, wowza, bobowza. And nobody laughs. You know, that's too much, man. Everybody laughs. Then he comes out and says, wowza, wowza, bobowza. And he stares at the audience and nobody makes a noise. I feel like that's Mr. Jeff. And maybe people on the island are fine with it. Maybe Jeff's fine with it. Who knows? But nobody else has wanted to adopt it as their catchphrase. Uncle Jeff was way too used by that season 49 cast. That was a problem. And even if you felt that he was Uncle Jeff, too many people were saying it. So I would get rid of Uncle Jeff. Mr. Jeff's only here as long as Jonathan's on the show.
Fair point. As an Italian man that calls everyone that was close to my father an uncle or an auntie, then I'm going to keep Uncle Jeff around because I too would call him Uncle Jeff. Mr. Jeff, it doesn't make any sense. Phil, it doesn't make any sense, but I agree to disagree again on that one. It's the Survivor China of sayings.
Yeah, I've hit the age now. I've officially hit middle age because I've started calling everybody brother. Like brother's really been in my head. And like, I remember Johnny Fairplay. I went to a NASCAR race with Johnny Fairplay and he was calling everybody brother. Now that was definitely because we were in like the South and he just likes to say brother to people, but he was calling everybody brother. And I've been finding myself saying brother to people. And then even as I'm like watching these college basketball, I'm like, make the shot, brother. Come on, brother. Like, I just find myself like saying the word brother for every search, like circumstance. It's like, oh, that the coach called a timeout. I'm like, what are you doing, brother? Like, and my wife's, it's driving her nuts. But anyway, I feel like I've hit that part of my life. So Jeff would be brother to me. That's it. And it would be like the Colby version of brother. I think Colby said, I want to do a land thing, not a land marooning, not a water marooning, because I'm no good in the water, brother. And I'm saying to myself, man, I'm starting to sound like Colby. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe I'm just becoming Colby. Hopefully I age like Colby. Let's hope so.
Yeah, hopefully Colby and not Johnny Fairplay. If you're going to become one of them in your old age, no offense to Johnny, you'd pick Colby 10 times.
I mean, Colby's got the chiseled jaw still. He's got it. I mean, even Fairplay would say, look, Colby's a better looking guy than me. Although Johnny Fairplay's doing the most with what he's got there. I think Johnny Fairplay's doing a hell of a job with the long hair. I hope I have his hair. That's what I'll say. I hope I still have hair.
I was going to say, you could have Johnny's hair, you could have the hair plugs like Colby. Either way, they're doing it.
There we go. All right. We are going into the next one. So now we had easy ones. Here we go. Who will be the last person? The last person shown getting up to vote at the final tribal council of the episode. So I'm assuming there's two tribal councils. I know there's some rumors that there could be one and two tribes are going, look, there's too many people to get rid of. It's going to be two tribal councils. So this is who will be the last person shown getting up to vote at the final tribal council of the episode. So not only do you have to think of who'll be the last person, which tribe's going to go to tribal second, and I don't know what the reasoning will be. So, Tony, I'll let you go first.
This is tough. This is very tough because it has a lot of stuff up in the air. We've spent so much time with that Christian, Angelina, Emily, Ozzy, and Steph tribe. I do think they lose again. I do think that one of the teams going to tribal. However, as you said, that preview sort of hinting towards Rizzo versus Charlie being the story of this episode. It goes on with me saying Jonathan's going to be the one getting in the water, so I'm going to go with that tribe. Not only is the bulk of this episode, but it is the one that goes second because I think the person getting voted out is a little bit more of a question mark there. And the last person to get up to vote, let's go with Killa Camilla. I'm going to go with Camilla on that one because I want Camilla on this list. Let's go with Camilla.
Yeah, finally for something positive. I feel like I do the zero confessionals and Camilla's been people's answers for that nonstop. Finally, we're going to get Camilla doing something here positive. And I you know what? Mm-hmm. I like that pick. I am going with that tribe as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Rick Devins just because I don't feel like I'm putting Rick Devins in enough spaces these days. So I'm going to go with Rick Devins as the last person. This is the most random one, but maybe all the votes happen and Devins gets up and he's really nervous. And as soon as he gets up, he kind of lets out a loud fart and everybody giggles and he really breaks the tension and hopefully doesn't break anything else like Christian did. Goes up, he places his vote, and that's the end of that. So this is as random as it gets. I wonder, we were talking about this, Tony, and I'm curious what you think. Because you are a sports guy, so you think about what's the fairness. Because you can't just say, well, you get 17th, you get 16th, or I guess they're at 19. You got 19, you got 18. There has to be a rhyme or reason to why one tribe is going before the other. What do you think is ultimately going to be the determining factor, considering it seems like they're just playing for first? Are they going to keep competing for second and third? Is it going to be elimination style? How do you think it's going to work?
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad question. I do think it would just be whoever gets first, the other two go to tribal. And as for who gets 19th and who gets 18th, that's up to Survivor to decide. And if maybe the tiebreaker should be how many people are still on your team by the time you go to tribal. And the team that only has five players on their team should be in last because they've been in last this entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious what they're going to do. I mean, I could see that as an idea. I wonder if they're going to actually play for reward as a second place team. So maybe you get something, but you lose anyway. I think that might be the cleanest way, but I am curious how they're going to do it. But I think Sela goes second because I think that whatever it is, Vatu is finishing last place in this challenge. Vatu already has their seats reserved. Jeff doesn't even do them the call for a reservation or a time. He just knows it's happening. They're going there. They're sitting there. And I think they're going to be so bad in this challenge because they've just been so bad in every challenge that they are going to go to tribal council first because ultimately they're going to be punished for being the worst tribe in some way, shape, or form. And their person should be 19th place.
Yeah, I agree with that. Put them in 19th.
Yeah. So that's why I'm going with Devins here, but I don't have any other science beyond that. All right, my next one. Who will be the first person Jeff asks a question at the first tribal council?
Well, if that's the case, it's out of those five. It's out of Christian, Angelina, Emily, Ozzy, or Steph, and I'm going to go with Christian. My man has been the star of Survivor Season 50, and rightfully so. Every time you go to him, whether he's putting on a show purposefully or not, he always has something interesting to say. He always answers Jeff's question and dunks it with some sort of panache or flair. I'm going to go with Jeff asking Christian to start us off at Tribal, and it might be Ozzy as well, because Ozzy, if he goes to Tribal again, will continue to have lost everything on Survivor Season 50. So maybe we start harping on that storyline a little bit. But yes, I'm going with Christian as my answer.
Yeah, I mean, Ozzy could be a really good choice. If I didn't already have Ozzy for something else, I'd probably be putting Ozzy here. I'm going to go with Christian as well. I feel like Christian's just been the go-to guy for Jeff on this season. He's been the go-to guy for the editors. He's been the go-to guy for Jeff. He's just the go-to. That's just who it is. And, you know, you know he's going to give you an analogy. You know he's going to give you something. I see this comment here that says I'm Christian fatigued. I'm not yet, but I could certainly see how people would start to feel that way if he keeps dominating screen time, but he keeps going to tribal. He keeps going to tribal. I do feel like Mike White had said some kind of thrown some shade at Christian here in his exit press. He was saying, felt like Christian was playing some stuff up for the cameras. I will say, I don't remember him being quite so animated in David versus Goliath. I feel like he has definitely played that up a little bit more on this season. I don't know if he's acting necessarily, but I do feel like he is definitely playing up the zipping of the lips and different things with the robot conventional and stuff. I don't feel like we quite got to that level in David versus Goliath.
I think the most telling thing for Christian for this entire season was his confessional about how one day his son is going to watch this back. And I think whether you think he's doing it for show, whether you think he's faking it or putting it up, I think every single thing this man is doing is to show his son later so they can sit on the couch, sip a coffee as the kid's having his chicken nugget dinner, and they're watching dad on the television laughing at him doing stupid things that he does at home. I think Christian is playing this for one person only, and that is his son. So if he's playing it up on camera because he's playing peekaboo essentially on CBS every Wednesday night, I'm okay with that. Go for it.
I like that. That's a positive spin on that, because I feel like some people have been really down on this, or I feel like it's getting a little carried away. But I like that spin. I think that's a fun idea. And, you know, he keeps talking about his son, so maybe that's really what it is coming down to. I can get behind that.
Mm. Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know, when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Question number 6. Who will say the episode title? The episode title is Open Wounds.
Tough. That's a tough one. The person who ran away with this in season 49 was Rizzo. Like, me and Bailey Buffs on Survivor Squared, which, by the way, if you're watching this now, we're on YouTube as well. Feel free to come check us out. We would link constantly ask, like, who... There. Look at that. My guy set me up.
I already
up.
Put you in there. It's there.
We would talk about who's going to say the episode title. That was one of the things we would discuss. And more often than not, it was Rizzo. Survivor loves Rizzo, and Rizzo loves talking to camera. And this Open Wounds is clearly kind of a something we can push at with the Charlie and season 46 and Rizzo bringing that up. And maybe that's what they're talking about. So if I'm allowed to use a person's again on this, I'm going to go with Rizzo, because I think Rizzo's the person who says this title.
Yeah, you can use people as many times as you want. We used to in the past make it so that you could only use them once and every player had to fit into something. But that was back when we did it before the season. Look, get as many points as you can. I'm going with Charlie, though. I feel like Charlie, he's going to be the one. It's the open wounds. It's the open wounds. It's the open wounds. I mean, his entire story. I actually kind of feel bad for Charlie on this season, because if he does go out in this episode, as I'm expecting him to be one of the boots this week, if he goes out this season, it's a disappointing run, because his entire story was about how Maria bothered him. And I think that's just really annoying, because even if Maria did bother you that much, you don't want your entire story to be like, the old lady was mean to me. I mean, that's kind of just like a weak, I don't know. It's a weak appearance. So I feel bad for him here. And it's obviously being played up. It's very Keturah Bruce at this point, but it feels like Charlie's having an argument with a person who's not there to have an argument back with him. It's wild. So I think Open Wounds is going to be about this, and about finally closing the open wounds. And that open wound is going to stay open, because Rizzo is going to stab him right in the heart.
With the Billie Eilish Boomerang Idol, brought to you by Billie Eilish.
Not really.
Has she said anything about Survivor Season 50 yet? Has she tweeted about it yet? Is it still no?
It's still no.
Okay. All right. Well,
it's still nothing. Yeah, Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish actually might have passed away, and people just don't know, because she said so little about Survivor, right? She's just not there. Anyway, who have the most confessionals this week? Christian has dominated this. I'm going to open this up as a new tab. So I'm going to warn everybody, my computer is absolutely on its last legs. I'm getting a new one when I get to LA. And I keep saying that, and that's coming. So Tony, I'm going to tell you right now, if I totally freeze as I open this, it is because my computer is working that poorly. So you just start talking if you totally lose
me. I'll just start vamping.
Yeah, but I'm going to pull up the confessional count for this season to just show how absurd this is. To Ozzy had episode one, he had 19. Christian had episode two, he had the most, he had 10. Emily was episode three with 9, and then Christian was episode four with 6. So it has been Christian twice, Ozzy and Emily, all from the same starting tribe. So all people have gone to all four tribal councils, all from the same starting tribe. Who do you think it's going to be this week?
I think Christian is another great answer, but I'm going to go off the board here. I've played it pretty safe with my picks so far, taking the favorites or the co-favorites, and Christian should be a favorite here. I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to continue this Rizzy and Charlie dynamic, except who's the best storyteller on this tribe of Rizzo, D, Camilla? It's either Rick or Sari. And I think Sari is going to be more closely intricate in this story. So I'm going to go with Sari as the person who has the most confessionals here. I think they allow her to tell the story of Charlie versus Rizzo from afar.
I love that pick. I'm also going to go off the board here. I'm not going to go with Sari, but I love that pick because I do feel like there's going to be a lot of Rizzo time. There's going to be a lot of Charlie time. There's going to be a lot of different stuff going on there. And then you turn around and like, the other tribe only has 5 people. If I'm assuming Vatu is going to go to tribal council, what does that mean? I think Kahlo, once again, is going to kind of get overshadowed. Coach, Colby, we're not hearing as much from them. They haven't gone to tribal. That's what sucks. But I'm not going to go off the board here. I lied. I'm just going to go with Rizzo. And I mean, Rizzo, I think, is going to get the most. But here's what's interesting about Rizzo, right? You say the camera loves him. Rizzo has 8 confessionals on this season. 2, 2, 3, 1. Right. Mm-hmm. And if you look at that in the grand scheme, here's who has more than him: Christian, Emily, Ozzy, Stephanie, Aubrey, Coach, Colby, Genevieve, Joe, Sari. So I'm at 10. Devin's with 11. Mike with 12. Q with 13. Savannah, 14. And then Charlie has the same amount of him. So he's tied for 15th most. There's 2 people out of the game already. I'm just saying, like, Rizzo is loved. So this actually does feel like maybe you are going off the board a little bit more than you would think. It's like you get a great basketball player, but he's more known for his assists than his scoring. So you see his number at 10.5. You're like, he's going to easily hit that. But really, he's a great offensive player because of his assisting, not his scoring. I feel like that's where I'm at with Rizzo here. So I'm seeing this number a little bit better. I feel like Rizzo's going to be the storyline of this episode. I feel like Rizzo versus Charlie is coming to a head. I feel like that one, too. People might be saying, well, why wouldn't Genevieve and Aubrey come to a head? I feel like the Genevieve and Aubrey one has just been a bigger storyline throughout. And I feel like this one just came up so out of nowhere. And we have so much of this in the preview. I just would be shocked if they don't end up at tribal council.
Here's the thing. Survivor season 50, obviously we don't know what's going to happen, but the editors do. And they have done such a great job of piecing these episodes together, leaving not only the breadcrumbs, but telling people the story from seasons past. That whole premiere was South Pacific Renewed. Like they have done such a great time telling you the stories of what's to come and leaving you breadcrumbs for the future. The Genevieve versus Aubrey tete-a-tete, I don't know when that's going to happen, but that's like when you watch a season of Game of Thrones and you know the big battle's coming, but everything is leading to the big battle. That's Genevieve versus Aubrey. This Rizzo versus Charlie thing, I do think we see the at least a battle of this war right now because of how quickly this has built up in speed mode, whereas other things are more of a slow burn. This is, I agree with you. I think Rizzo is going to have a healthy amount of confessionals here because I think this is going to be the story. And hey, if we're wrong, I'll be happy to be wrong. I want to see Genevieve and Aubrey play out. I want to see how that happens.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's the Moat Cailin before the Battle of the Bastards. That's what's happening right here. And, you know, I'm not saying Aubrey and Genevieve are bastards. That's not the point of this, guys. Okay, don't take that out of context. That's just happening.
They would call each other that.
Yeah, exactly. Aubrey used the choice word for Genevieve earlier in the season, if not mistaken. So, I mean, I love this though. We're watching Worlds Apart right now for our Patreon, and Will, Blake, and I are going through it and we're talking about everything. We are very much enjoying Worlds Apart. And I know that that's not a popular opinion, but I kind of miss the negativity. And I'm not saying I support these people in what they're saying, but I miss when drama was like, give me that person that I do not like so much. I can't wait to watch their downfall. And Worlds Apart being a good conquers evil type season, I'm in for a good conquering evil. I'm in for despicable villains and fun heroes and different storylines. And I feel like getting Genevieve and Aubrey butting heads super hard, I'm into that. I'm into that.
I will say, I'm right there with you. The best seasons of Survivor have a good versus evil, and you can only have a good versus evil if they match each other. Like, if you have so many evils or if you have so many goods, the storytelling is not there. It's like a big wrestling event. You got to have the babyface good guy, and he has to face the dastardly heel bad guy. Yeah. And that's why Survivor China stinks, because there is no good guy. It's just a bunch of bad people on an island. But not to bring that back up.
Todd and James and Courtney and Amanda and James were on the Hero Tribe, Tony. I don't know if you know this or not. That's my favorite. That's my favorite alliance of all time. Those four, I could watch those four just sit around and talk about paint. I would watch that immediately. And they got Jean Robert as the big bad. It's the best. Anyway, let's get off that subject before all of a sudden this is a 3.5 hour podcast about me breaking down scene by scene why I like China and then you breaking it down in reverse why you don't. Let's go to the next one. Who have zero confessionals this week? So to update everybody, I'm sure as you all know, Angelina, Stephanie, Chrissy, Tiffany, Camilla all have had zero confessionals in an episode. Devin, Sari, and Tiffany had zero confessionals last episode. So did Jonathan. So Sari and Devin's really stood out to me there. I mean, that's a tribe that obviously just keeps winning, so it makes sense. But they were, I mean, these are two of the biggest stars the show has, and they're both getting overshadowed. They both still got plenty of screen time with the talent show and everything like that, but they're not going to get a confessional this week. Who's it going to be?
Well, I will say, reading those names off, we took away the guys from Come On In Guys, but we only have Come On In Guys in confessionals, seemingly. A lot of ladies in the zero confessional department this season of Survivor. The zero confessional department here, this is a tough one because the easy answer is Tiff. For whatever reason, Tiffany is not on Survivor Season 50. They cast her, but she didn't show up on the island, apparently. The rest of them, I'm going to try to go off of the board here. I'm going to go with that Tiffany tribe because I don't think we're getting a lot of screen time from them. And I will go with Chrissy. Yeah, let's go with Chrissy. A weird storyline being played for her as well. You talked about how Charlie's story, if he gets voted out, might be a little bit odd. Chrissy's story is just as odd. And so I'll go with Chrissy being the zero confessional queen here.
See, I like letting you go first so that you can make the pick. And then this way, when I just copy it, at least you got to talk about it first. But I think it's Chrissy too. I wanted to go Tiffany, but I do feel like this season might be doing that thing of you didn't get one this time, so we'll go back to the other person in your storyline that can make sense. I think Tiff gets one here. I do think, though, we are in for many more people getting zero confessionals in this episode than have been in the past because of the two tribals. I think that there's going to be a lot less screen time to go around, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody who goes to tribal even manages to not get a confessional. I don't think that'll happen on Vatu, but I could see that happening on Sila or Kahlo, and I think Chrissy could be the person who gets nothing no matter what. Her storyline has been very strange, and if you are going to go to that tribe, which I'm assuming that tribe's going to win. Am I still here? I think I'm.
Yep. Uh-oh, maybe I'm not here.
I'm Xing out. It's me. It was me. Can you hear me now? Yeah, it was me. Don't worry. This is what happens. Yeah, this is what happens. I had four tabs open and my computer's exploding. what I was saying is on that tribe, if they do decide to go, that tribe's not going to go to tribal, that Kahlo tribe, which I don't think they will.
Yeah.
They're going to go to screen time for Colby and Coach and Aubrey and Genevieve, because those are who people care about the most. Chrissy and Tiffany are in trouble, but I'll bank on them giving Tiffany at least one this week so that she can almost catch Zach Brown.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So we're both going Chrissy on this one.
Yep.
All right. Last two questions here. Last one. Who will be the first player shown holding the tribal immunity idol after the challenge? This has been one of my favorite ones all season. It really has been one of my favorite ones.
It's a great question, because it made me go back and think, like, how does this work? Like, how does that interaction often work? And it's often Jeff taking a few steps towards the tribe and the person in the front line taking a few steps to grab the idol. It's never someone in the back. Like, it's rarely like a Jonathan who's just a behemoth grabbing that thing first. It's always someone standing in front of him. So I got to go with someone shorter. I got to take off Genevieve. I got to take off Coach because I do think this tribe's going to win. I got to take off Joe. And so I think I'm going to go with Aubrey. I think Aubrey's the one that gets it. I think she'll be standing sort of front and center in that lineup, and she'll be the one that grabs the idol.
See, I'm going to go back to where I just went before, and I'm going to go with Chrissy. Because I think Chrissy, mm-hmm. if there's a puzzle portion of it, she'll be the one who does it, and she'll be the one who grabs it. But there is this science to it of people mm-hmm. in the front row tend to be the ones who grab it. I mean, Angelina grabbed it in the one episode. I know that it's been a lot of people who have just been, in the front rows. I think Coach grabbed it after the first challenge, though, which blew my mind. And this is only, I mean, I know only one tribe is getting it this week anyway, but this is only the first person who grabs it, the first person who holds it after the challenge is over. I'm going to go with Chrissy. I think they like giving it to Chrissy. I mean, they gave it to Chrissy once already. And Jeff said, Chrissy, you totally redeemed yourself, you know, XYZ, whatever. But I don't know. It's got to be one of those two, though. I agree with you. Unless it is, I mean, who else is on that tribe? It can't be Jonathan. You're right. It can't be Jonathan. And,
unless someone has like a hero moment, like you said, and then they sort of award, like they're the one deemed to be worthy enough to go grab it. Like if someone has a hero win here, but yeah, I'll go with Aubrey.
You know what? I'll actually change it. So it's not Chrissy. So I don't have Chrissy for two. I will spread the wealth. I'm going to go with Tiffany because Tiffany will be in the front. So I'll go with Tiffany because maybe that'll be the thing they let Tiffany do. Jeff will be like, Tiffany, if you want to get screen time, come over here. Hurry up. They're really hitting her with the time. Yeah, I know. It couldn't have happened. They saw that and were mad.
She's got nothing. I love Tiffany. I like it. I was so excited she was recast as I was meeting her during my New Era watch. And it's again, she missed her flight to the island. She's not there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. They're punishing her. They brought her. They liked her enough to bring her back, but then they were like, we were annoyed by how you treated the final three of your season, so we won't put you on the season. I mean, I will tell you this, guys. I know a lot of people were saying, you know, Tiffany could win the season. I said, Tiffany will either get a really big edit, you'll know she has a shot, or she's going to be invisible if she has no shot. Tiffany's not going to win the season because I think that Tiffany would have been more on the screen because they would want to be telling you why Tiffany could win this season. And that is not happening right now. Last question. Who will cast the deciding vote this week? So this can be two people. I have this as just who will cast the deciding vote. It is the one that is read when Jeff says blank person voted out of the game. So it can be anybody. I'm going to go first on this one because I'm going to jump in and I'm going to see if I can make you change your answer. But I am going to go with Emily Flippin on this. Did I do it?
I was going to say your piece for Emily Flippin. I don't mean to cut you off with my
reaction.
No,
you're good. I'm glad to hear that. I had a feeling. I had to steal your thunder. I feel like Emily Flippin is in the position that just makes the most sense on that tribe where Angelina is going to go to Emily Flippin and go to Ozzy to try to make something happen. That is the story this week. Can Angelina get Ozzy and Emily to go against Christian? That's the story. And I think that Emily will ultimately cast the deciding vote. Even if it's 4-1, Emily's will be the last one they show because it'll probably have a heart or something on it. I'm going with Emily.
That's exactly where I was going to go. I was going to stand here. I already had the beginning of this, my thought in my mind saying how much we've spent on Rizzo versus Charlie's tribe and that the other tribe that's going to tribal will be going to tribal. And I do think this is the end of Christian's game, as sad as it is. I think it's a star burning very, very bright, very, very early. And I think what he did against Mike White has made not with the last shot, the last conversation we saw from the last episode is Christian saying to Ozzy, hey man, I'll explain this when we get back. And Ozzy goes, you already did. And Ozzy wants nothing to do with Christian. Angelina wants nothing to do with Christian. Emily flip-flops all the effing time. And so it makes so much sense that she would just roll with the tide and go to eliminating Christian. I have a lot to say about how Emily Flippin plays this game, but that was going to be my answer and the storyline behind it. So to change it up, let me go to that Rizzo versus Charlie tribe because, again, I think the editors are doing a masterful thing here, and Rizzo was handed an idol that he juggled for 10 consecutive tribals or whatever it was during season 49. I think Rizzo kind of makes a mistake here and realizes that maybe he tells the wrong person the wrong story about this idol, and I think Rizzo is one and done with this idol. I think he burns it at this tribal council to save himself, and whether that means someone else is going home, whether he wrangles the votes to get Charlie out or maybe a surprise vote out itself, I will pick Rizzo as the deciding vote on who goes home in a tribal where he needs to play an idol to save his behind.
Yeah, because, I mean, he could be the only vote that ends up counting.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like everybody's anti-Rizzo, but it could end up being a 6-1 pile on Rizzo. Like, we don't know. I feel like Saria's smart enough to split it, but who is she splitting it with at that point?
It still is. I mean, if we're going to hold true to the original tribes, which is sometimes we don't in a returnee season, but four of these people are on the an original tribe together. Rizzo is a lone soldier from his original tribe. He was worried coming into here, and so he could try to overplay his hand here, and if Charlie's coming after him as well, maybe that makes it easy, and maybe we get a surprise. Maybe the great Suri is voted out because of all of this, but either way, I think Rizzo is safe, and I'll say he casts the deciding vote.
I love it. I love it. I mean, look, I like that we went on two different tribes there because we know that there's going to be two tribes going. And I like that we were both on the Emily Flippin train. A lot of people are thinking, could Emily Flippin be the one who ends up going home this week? I don't think there's any shot.
I'd be so happy. I'd be so happy if Emily Flippin would be the one going home this week. I don't dislike many Survivor players, and I'm sure Emily Flippin is a wonderful person. I can't stand to watch her play Survivor. I hate it every single time.
Is it because she's too all over the place?
When I watch Survivor, I've come at this from the beginning, from the same mantra, from the same mindset. I am treating Survivor as the fifth major American sport, right next to football, baseball, hockey, basketball, and then Survivor. And when I break down these seasons, I am going through it like it is a game, like it is a sport. Did these players make the right decision, the wrong decision? Were they game players, or were they like Courtney Yates from season 15, China, who doesn't give an F that she's on an island and playing a game whatsoever?
Almost wins anyway.
I want people who can play the actual game here. And Emily Flippin plays this game in her own way. She is unique to herself. I think she plays one of the worst games in Survivor. And I think she is terrible on season 50 for what she is doing. There is no world where Emily Flippin wins Survivor season 50 because of what she's done so far. And so, yeah, I don't like watching Emily. Nothing against the person. It's all about the player. I want people who can actually play this game. And Emily's not that to me.
And I will just say this, Emily, if you're listening and if you're like beat up, Tony's just been swinging. Here's what I'll say. If you're in the same category as Courtney Yates, you're doing something right in my eyes. Okay. That's all I'm going to say, because Courtney Yates to me doesn't get any better than her. So I like that Tony and I come from different perspectives here. I will say, I've been doing this series now with like a lot of people who are in the community who, you know, Joe Dorowski wrote a book, and then I had Survivor Analytics. I had Alexa, who has a very different opinion and everything. I enjoy that we're not all sounding the exact same anymore. I like that the community has gotten big enough. The people who have their voices, who are talking about it, not just, oh, I'm on X and I got 300 retweets. I don't really care about that. But I'm talking about the people who are really talking about the show, who have these channels and who are talking about, you know, what we like, what we don't like. I think it's better. Damien Chazelle said after Babylon, he said more people need to be okay with their movie only being liked by half the people. And I feel like that's what creates people who love things. Like, I love Babylon. A lot of people hate Babylon. I think you should kind of love or hate. If you feel indifferent, that's not good. If it's, oh, it got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, but we all forgot about it a year after it was made. Congrats on your 93%, but nobody's going to go back and find your movie. Whereas Babylon, it's polarizing. It's this, that. I think it's more fun when you start having those conversations of Courtney Yates, Emily Flippin versus what your favorite player of all time then has to be, what, like Ciara Dunn Thomas? Like, is that where you're going with this? You just want like the most basic, bland, like, and I do actually like Ciara a lot on Game Changers, but I knew you like Game Changers. So where do you go? I need to know, who is like your go-to person that's not on 50?
Oh, that's unfair, because the best Survivor player ever is a person who's never won, and that's Suri. I think Suri is the most best strategic and social mind that Survivor has ever seen. She should be the first vote out every single time. And she was, if you remember back to her first season, this close to us never hearing from her again. She was this close to being the first vote out on her season. And that Suri star would have been gone forever from that. But she keeps on scrounging and getting votes and getting people on her side and working alliances and convincing people to do things they don't want to do. She is the best game player when it comes to social and strategic stuff. If we're looking for all around, I mean, it's really hard to beat Boston Rob, but he does rub some people the wrong way. That's the beauty of this game, is that no one is perfect at it. No one has every single thing in their repertoire. I put Probably the thing people get most mad at me is on my best winners of all time list, John Cochran from Caramoan is number one. Because if you watch that season, he nary makes a false step. Not only does he win immunity challenges, he knows how to puppeteer everyone on that island from the fans to the favorites. Don by his side feeding him information, Philip making a fool out of himself, and Cochran going, you got it, Phil, I'm right behind you, until he needs to start stabbing people in the back. So if you want a perfect gameplay to me, you watch Cochran and Caramoan, and that's what I think is the best Survivor game we've ever seen. So that's what I like to see, is an all-around game, but also understands you need to hit all three aspects, the social, the strategic, and the immunity challenge stuff in order to succeed here. So yeah, I don't know who the best player is, but my favorite player to watch is Suri, and the best winner is Cochran.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot, and I like that it was unfair, you know, that I gave you that. I mean, so let's say you can't have Suri, though, and I'm asking this differently now. Like, for me, I know you're not a China fan. We've gone through it. But, like, I'd watch James. I'd watch Courtney. I'd watch Todd Herzog on any season, right? Like, they say Terry Dietz is on 50. I'm stoked. I know there's a lot of people who wouldn't be. I'm ready to go. Tom Westman, I'm watching again. Colby, watching again. Like, I know I'm going with the alpha bros here. But, like, I'd already put Courtney in, and she's the antithesis of an alpha bro. And so there's these kinds of players where I will watch them no matter what. Michelle Fitzgerald, I will watch play again because I want to see if she can actually make people realize how dumb they really were playing, like she couldn't do on Winners at War, even though everything she said was right. So my question to you is, who's that person for you where you're like, if they're doing 50, they're doing 51, they're doing 53, they're doing 55, I'd watch them on all three seasons.
I'm going to go with a name that hasn't returned. Because, you know, there's a million players like Kelly Wentworth of the world that we could throw out there. I'm going to go with a name that hasn't returned. I'm going to specifically go New Era, because all of you Survivor fans were telling me for years, for weeks on weeks on weeks, that the New Era was a piece of trash, and it's gotten so bad, and it's so different now in 26 days, and all this BS out there. There have been some fantastic New Era seasons, and even more fantastic New Era players that I think deserve a little bit more respect. And I'm going to take a person that no one's going to predict here. If they were playing in a returnee season, I would be tuned and locked the F in. And that's Shan from season 41. Because of the way she played on that season, she was exactly what you want out of a New Era Survivor villain, and played her butt off in every way but Sunday. And all the little intricacies she had when she was doing her confessionals, the personality she had, whether you liked her or disliked her, she played that game hard, and she played it well. So yeah, if Shan's back on my television screen, I'm locked the F in. And that's not a challenge beast. That is purely social and strategic, and knows how to get by in Survivor. Yeah, that's my pick.
I love that. I mean, I remember saying during 41, she was an A-plus casting choice. On a season that I didn't think had a lot of A-pluses, she was an A-plus casting choice. And we've watched the rise and fall of Shan. And I can believe she's not back, but I can't believe she's not back. And I think she's one of the bigger snubs for sure out of the New Era. So it's a good answer. That's a good answer. Well, Tony, what do you have going on throughout the rest of the season? Now that you're done with your rewatch, you got any other Instagram content that you're planning to do, Instagram only for Survivor, or is it just on YouTube now?
The main focus is YouTube. We do two shows a week. Every Thursday, we do a recap of the episode the night before. And every Monday, I have on a Survivor guest to talk about the world of Survivor 50 and other things. We have some big guests coming down the line. Excited to talk about that. I'm a little wary of naming people because I'm just in case something blows up and they don't want to do it anymore. But we got a lot of good things coming down the line on Survivor Squared on YouTube. And then on Instagram and TikTok, I don't want to reveal what exactly I'm going into the recapping world next. I will be watching Australian Survivor and recapping a few of those seasons. But 2026 is made for another reality TV competition franchise that I will be watching every single episode of and recapping in the same form I did all 49 seasons of Survivor as well. And I'm excited to dive into that world as my next foray into the world of reality competition TV. So I'm pumped. I'm pumped for it. But yes, Survivor Squared on YouTube is the big one. That's where you get most of my Survivor stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if what you're doing is going to be large and involve a word that I keep calling people. I wonder if that'll be it, you know, but anyway. anyway, so I don't know if that's true or not, everybody. I'm just saying that. But I love what you've been doing, and I love how quickly you've built everything up. And I like to, you know, I'll throw the players' names out there, because at this point I'm like, dude, we already picked a time. If you bail on me now, I don't know what we're doing. So we had Sophie Segretti on yesterday doing Matt Chat with Tegwith. That was a great episode. If you haven't checked that one out, Sophie, man, she got robbed in her edit. That's all I'm going to say. Kellen was on with me on Sunday. She even shouted out you, Tony. She said, you know, that guy said I was annoying throughout Ghost Island. And she said, but that's okay, because if he doesn't like China, that means I'm in good company. So there you go. So Kellen was on Sunday. She was a great guest. And last Thursday, we had Jake Latimer. This week coming up, we got the two Jakes, Chinatown sequel, in case you guys didn't know. We got Jake O'Kane on Thursday night, 6 p.m. We moved it up from our usual slot so that we can all sit down and watch March Madness. Blake went to Texas. He's dying to sit down and watch Texas get blown out by Purdue. He needs it more than he needs oxygen. And then on Sunday, I will be live with Caleb from season 45. We'll be live at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then it gets crazy, because then I got to find out how I'm getting up to Atlanta. I'm getting out to Phoenix. I'm figuring out Easter. So I'm not going to give away any names after that point, but we have a lot going on this week. Really excited for the Survivor 45 week with Jake and Caleb, both coming on to talk about the season. So this was great. Go check out Survivor Squared. The link to the channel is in the description of the video. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/a specialist. We're getting into Worlds Apart. When Will and I first started podcasting, our first full season, so you can hear us talk about the season the second time. If you want to go relive it, you can watch it alongside and see what we looked like youthful and how stupid we were compared to how we are now. Honestly, I think we have the exact same opinions as we did back then. So here we are, not maturing or aging a day. We are the exact same, and we fall for every stupid joke that Rodney tells the entire season. So that's it. That's what we got. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Tony, for being here, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, buddy.